A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Listening to The Coming Out Tapes, an audio archive of LGBT stories. I'm your host, Keris Bradley, and throughout this season I'll be talking to lots of different people from the community about lots of different things connected to coming out. Episode of the Coming Out Tapes, we're talking about emails and whether or not you should come out by email, but looking at some examples of when people have come out by email, looking at some advice on how to do that, when you might want to do it, if it is a bad idea, in what circumstances it would be a bad idea. So I am joined by the wonderful Oz Ismail, who you should remember from episode one of series one. The voice that launched the series, and our dear friend Anna Pajaisky, who you heard from in the last episode. And I have brought these wonderful people to this recording studio because you both came out to someone via email.
Correct.
That's correct.
So let's get started by, why don't you both say who you came out to using email and why you came out to them using email. So just start, Oz.
Sure. So I came out via email to my sister, and that was in 2009.
10 years ago.
10 years ago. Yeah, I should have a celebration.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks. I came out via email just to her, and yeah, sorry, I've forgotten what the
why,
question
was. Why did you come out via email?
Oh, right. So basically, it was before. So she lives in London now, but it was before she used to live here. And she used to visit me and I used to visit her when she lived in Singapore. But I had never, although I had sort of come out to myself at that stage and come out to a few people, I hadn't like told anyone who was significant to me or significant in my life. So she was going to visit me in London. And at that point, I kind of knew myself well enough to be like, all right, I can't. This is not something I want to hide from the person who I am closest to. So I decided that before she came to visit me, I was going to email her and be like, look, here are some things about me that you didn't know that you should maybe know. Because I just didn't feel comfortable with her, like basically living a lie in front of her because I was very close to her and still am.
And you went with the email instead of like phone because...
Mostly because at the time it was very expensive to make international phone calls. this is pre-WhatsApp.
This is in the past.
This is like dinosaur times.
Okay, because when I was thinking about this episode, I was like looking for advice, and there's not very much advice, but there is lots of stuff about like, you know, more modern forms of technology and communication that isn't email, and email's now quite outdated, but this was... the past.
Yeah, this was kind of like, I think also it wasn't completely because phone calls are expensive. I think also I didn't maybe want, so in the email I said to her, I'm writing this email to you because I don't want you to have to react to this immediately or feel like you have to react to it. And if you don't want to react to it at all, and you know, if you decide that this is something that is too much for you to handle, I don't want to put you in that difficult position. It's weird to think about it in that way now. I think I was being like very empathetic towards her feelings about it. Yeah, I don't know why I did that, but I was like, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable about this, so I'm just going to let you deal with this in your own time. But obviously she dealt with it really well, and she replied pretty much immediately going, this doesn't change anything.
Cool. If it was Facebook, maybe you just would have gotten like a thumbs up response.
Yeah, but that was also a bit when Facebook only had like, you can only write back on someone's wall. You couldn't even reply to anybody. I get these memories from Facebook where it's like a random message. I'm like, this is no context. This is useless to me.
And Anna, you came out to your parents by email.
Correct, yep.
So why did you choose email to come out to them?
Well, in a similar way, really, I felt it was non-confrontational. I felt that I could say exactly, I could phrase it exactly how I wanted to without getting flustered or, like, you know, in the moment of a phone call or a face-to-face. So I could sit down and think about the wording properly. And I just basically wanted to insert the information into their heads and then run away. And email was quite a good way of doing that. But again, in my email, I said, please don't feel any pressure to respond in any sort of time scale. Like, let me know you've got it, but don't feel like you have to say anything.
Because your parents not based in Singapore.
Nope, they're not. They live about an hour away from me. I was coming out aged like 27. And I'm pretty, you know, I live independently from them. We don't live in the same place. I'm not financially dependent on them. So, like, relatively speaking, I was also confident they weren't going to, like, nothing bad was going to happen, basically. I was pretty sure, luckily, that nothing bad was going to happen. So, like, all I wanted was the information to be in their head, and then I could change my Twitter description and then everyone could just shut up about it.
Because your mum follows you on Twitter.
She does. She follows me and my podcast and no one else, and she receives an email every time I do anything.
Wow. She's pretty keen to know what's going on. It's good you told her.
Exactly.
But your Twitter, I mean, it's not the straightest Twitter in the world.
I know. Well, if you want, I can summarise her response. Which was, I mean...
To your Twitter or to the email?
To the email.
Oh, okay, well, we'll get to
that. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Was that your first choice? Had you tried to come out to your parents before the email?
I mean, only very vaguely, just at Christmas, I was thinking about it, and then I bottled it because I was like, this is too horrible.
It's difficult to do something like that, especially at like a time like Christmas where everyone's like so intensely focused on spending time with family.
And the trains aren't running, so you can't get
right.
away.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get snowed in and then you're locked in with new information.
It's true. I mean, I suppose, yeah, I didn't feel like... It was the non-confrontational thing. I think also because my parents and I don't ever talk about relationships. They would never say, oh, so are you seeing anyone? Like, that's just never a conversation that we have. So previously, when either my brother or I have had relationships, you've just had to be like, by the way, I'm going out with someone now. okay, bye. And then you never speak of it again. And then eventually you're like, oh, I guess this person's going to be here. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They would never like ask after it or anything. So it felt like an even bigger thing to be like, by the way, you know that thing that we never talk about? Yeah, well, here's another really important thing about it. And I feel really anxious. And yeah, so it wasn't in line with like the way that we behave around each other anyway. And so that felt like an additional level of, this is a thing at Christmas. So I was like, meh.
Are you both happy with your choices to come out by email?
Yep.
Yeah, I am. I think at the time, so like I was thinking about the relationship I had with my sister, and like we, like when we were teenagers, we would talk about like teenage stuff, and you know, because we've always been quite close. And so for me, it was also like, it would be weird if now we're in a stage where we're like having relationships with people and I'm always avoiding that topic. Because I went through a long phase of like just not talking about relationshipy things. With friends, it's easier because you can just be like, oh, I just don't want to talk about it or whatever. But when I've always shared stuff with somebody like my sister, it would then suddenly be, oh, you're suddenly holding back information. Why is that? You know? So it was more, I didn't want to disrupt like the nature of our relationship because it was still very important to me. But also, I knew there was part of me, most of me knew that she would not react badly to it. But also, you know, we spent our lives growing up in Bahrain and then in Sri Lanka. So like, it's not, they're not places that are conventionally gay friendly or like, or you don't see gay people around. So I was still unsure about how she would respond to it. So that's why for me, it was like similar to Anna. I'm just going to put this information in front of you and I'm going to walk away and then you can decide what to do with it.
Yeah.
So not everyone thinks that coming out by email is a polite thing to do.
Oh, because politeness is quite top priority when you're coming out. Excuse me, please. I would like to say
I'm terribly sorry to bother you. So I like was trying to look and see what So I was looking on the internet to see kind of like what kind of conversations people were having about coming out by email. Like, were there any particularly strong opinions? Were there any recommendations? And I got a lot more stuff about how to ask girls out by email.
Where is this website, please?
It's not a place you want to go. It's not written for the kind of relationships that you want to have.
I mean, we don't know until we try. Come on, Anna. I think you're going to have to be the guinea pig for this website.
Anna is not their target market.
Oh.
And then the other kinds of things were like, how do you leave your... what kind of email should you send to your work colleagues when you leave?
What?
Oh.
Because...
Kind regards. Or regards.
Oh, yeah. And it, there was just
is this
like
still
lot...
to do with being gay?
No,
right.
None of it. Oh. None of it just... is to do with being gay.
Dear all, because... I am gay. Regards.
So there was some stuff about like coming out letters. And so there was a lot more things on how you would write down a letter. But basically the internet was like, why are you coming out by email? It's 2019. There are either more modern or less modern methods, both of which are more effective. So there wasn't very much content at all. And all of the email stuff was like work focused. I read a lot of very informative lists on how to, you know, write effective work emails.
I guess that's useful for you.
Yeah.
The rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did find this one agony aunt who felt very strongly that I'm reading this now, and it so the question was like, should I come out to my parents and email? And the agony aunt has responded, oh, never come out in a group text, which
not the question.
Now that I read it, seems fair. But anyway, they go on to say that this is the real Jenny, agony aunt, goes on to say that there's no other way to come out to your parents than sitting them down, not while eating dinner, only after dinner, and dessert and all that.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out on dessert if it goes badly.
Yeah. In my books, that's the only way to tell your parents face-to-face is most respectful. So they go on to say, don't let them hear it secondhand because it might hurt them and they might find out, you know, indirectly on social media. And once that happens, then you can't undo it. So, and if anything happened to your parents, they'd be so depressed, get sick and die, and you'd feel so guilty for the rest
of
your
life. What
the fuck?
Okay, wow. So, like, this person has made it completely about the parents' feelings, regardless of this,
yes,
whoever's coming out.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing for them.
But they feel very strongly that you should come out face-to-face. So there are obviously logistical reasons why it might be difficult for you to come out face-to-face if someone is in another country. But even if that's not the case, like, why, what would you say would be, Do you regret not coming out to your parents face to face, or do you regret not coming out to your sister face to face? Do you think if circumstances had been different, would that have been preferable?
I don't know. I think maybe. So it probably would have been different if we continued living in the same country or the same town, and then we would have seen. I think I would have picked up on clues from her that she'd be okay or not okay with things I was doing, and I'd probably have maybe like drip fed stuff because she was always around. But I think it's because of the physical distance. I was suddenly, because in the email that came out, it wasn't just like, okay, I'm now like seeing guys. It was way more, I told her so much stuff about my life that she probably didn't expect to hear, or I thought she wouldn't have expected of me. So it was kind of like, here, it was kind of more like, I'm coming out, but also this is the new me. Like, I hope you're okay with this because this is my life now. So it was a lot of information in one go, whereas all that information would probably have been more slowly processed if I was in the same town as her, because we've always been quite close.
That's really interesting, because my desire for mine was to communicate like, absolutely nothing has changed.
Mm.
Like, I'm still exactly the same person, but there's just this thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the opposite. I wasn't.
Yeah.
Do you think if you had come out to your parents in person, then they would have felt like it was a bigger deal?
Yeah, I do. I think it would have felt like a bigger deal. I don't regret coming out by email. It was the right thing for me and for our relationship. And it's also the medium, I should say, that we often communicate in anyway. So if I'd have sent a letter, that would have been out of the ordinary. We do have phone calls about once a week, but like, we don't see each other all the time, kind of thing. So like, the email is like the general informal update, which is what I, and obviously, yeah, I did want it to be informal. I didn't want it to be, Mum and Dad, I have something to tell you. Please sit down and finish your ice cream before I tell you a thing, you know?
What was the subject line?
I left it blank.
Do you normally do that?
No. Yeah, probably, actually. Mm. Only to them, though. Yeah, I thought a long time about putting a subject line, and then I was like,
please finish your ice cream.
Are you eating anything?
Do not read until ice cream is complete.
Yeah, anything in the subject heading for me made it too formal, so I just left it blank.
Nice.
And both my email and the replies started with a, like, sort of nothing sentence of what was going on that weekend.
Well, based on that, should we do some examples? Do you want to read your email?
Sure. I read it before the recording and it made me feel feelings. That's fine. Ready?
Yes.
Hi, both. I hope you've had a good week. Lovely and sunny here. I'm off to Vita. That's my cousin. I'm off to Vita's new place for lunch. Smiley face emoji. I wrote this to tell you something which I feel it's important that you know, because I value honesty between us and your support. For a couple of years now, I've been realising that I'm gay. This might seem surprising or out of the blue, but it's taken some time for me to work it out. Growing up, I thought that women needed to fit into a very narrow and distinct mould. In many ways, I fit that mould really well, but not in every way. Anyway, I'm telling you both now because with the PhD behind me, an awesome job and a channel swim under my belt, I've never been happier. And that's given me the clarity to be able to create my own mould for myself. I hope you don't think that the medium of email is too impersonal or formal. I decided it would be the least confrontational way to get this all across. Please don't feel any pressure to say anything special or do anything with this information within any sort of time frame. It'd be nice to know that you got the message, and please feel free that you can ask me anything. Hope you are enjoying a sunny Saturday. Lots of love, Anna.
I appreciate the material science metaphors that were running through that.
What metaphors?
A lot of chat about moulds.
Oh, yes.
You've got to speak Anna's language, you know.
I mean,
it's
It's back to jelly again, isn't it?
But it's interesting because like you've really thought about what you want to say, and so your coming out is so clear, and there's no like emotional like blackmail in there. There's no expectation in there. Whereas if you had to sit someone down and do it face to face, you'd have to like have really thought about it and like tortured yourself thinking about it to get that level of
and
clarity.
Rehearsed it. Exactly.
You know?
And is that the voice that you hoped that they read it out?
Can you do it again in your parents' voices?
Oh God.
I'm kidding.
I think that was quite a neutral voice. Yeah, I didn't want them to think that I was upset or like, you know, incredibly tortured, because actually the reason that I felt able to send that email was because I was totally comfortable in myself and I was totally sure that this was the right thing to do. That like, I maybe in a previous draft actually, or maybe in a subsequent email, I kind of said like, there's nothing that you can say that will offend me, because I genuinely felt like whatever they had to say, it wouldn't affect how I felt about myself. So that was why that was the right moment for me.
How much of that sort of position do you think came from the fact that you were coming out by email, and so you had this very physical barrier between you and your parents, and you were able to, just as you had given them the ability to consume this information at their own pace, you also were able to do that? And how much of it do you think comes from the place that you were in when you came out? So you had already been thinking about this for about 2 years, you're like at the peak of kind of being comfortable with yourself and understanding your identity, so this is not like the same as only just realizing or being worried about the feelings that you're having or any of those kind of things. You're not looking at your parents for support at all because you're not financially dependent on them, you don't live with them. So yes, how much of it do you think is the email format, and how much of it do you think is sort of the confidence that you had in of yourself anyway?
I think it's both. Like, I had wanted to come out to them a long time before this, but like, I guess I was looking for the right medium, and I felt this felt like I felt like I wanted to do it before, but yeah, didn't have the right medium and perhaps wasn't quite in the right place. And for like a few weeks and months before this, I was like, right, well, I could definitely do it now, like I feel ready. But it's always just like, this is a thing, and I can always just not, like, I can always just not have this, like, really, I can always just not do this scary thing. I could just go and have a nice weekend. But it got to the stage where I was like, no, I'm definitely going to feel better after I've done this. So just do it.
Did you find the process of writing the email helpful?
No, I found it very difficult to find the right words, and I ran a few drafts off you guys. Thanks for that.
What about you, Oz? Did you find any kind of, like, therapy in the process of writing your thoughts down?
I think I did, because it just felt... I did for a while feel like I went from having this very close relationship to physically moving away, and then that relationship like carried on online, so we'd like have Facebook exchanges or like text exchanges and occasional phone calls, but I was like pulling back a lot because of me going through this, not even going through discovery, because I knew by that stage that I was gay, but I wasn't sure how much I wanted to do about it because of, like, you know, the bad experience I had with my parents finding out, as you remember from episode one. but I think I was worried about, so from that point of view, I was like, okay, the fact that there's a physical barrier does help a lot, because A, I know I was in a stage where I knew I was never gonna have to move back home, and much like Anna, I was like, I'm independent now, so that doesn't change my life if they decide that this is not something they want in their life. So it was the same with my sister. I was like, I did say to her in the email, if, like, at some point, if I decide to, you know, get married to a guy, I'll probably get disowned by the family, and I don't know how you feel about all of this, so I'm just, like, telling you how I feel about this. And so it was very releasing to like put all of those thoughts into an email and then just like tied it up into something that made sense. And so it ended up becoming quite long because I just wanted to make sure that every word in that email was there for a reason.
Were you picturing your sister when you wrote that email, or were you thinking about the things that you had to say?
I think initially I thought about everything I had to say, and then I kind of molded it. Material science word.
Love it.
Yeah, I kind of like molded it into this thing that would be, that I thought would be something that she'd be able to digest. Maybe I thought it'd take her a few days, but literally took her hours, and that's probably the time difference as well. She was like, okay. See you next week.
Yeah, I was definitely picturing my mum and dad because I knew exactly what they'd be doing on a Saturday morning. And so that was the other thing I thought about, timing. So I sent it on a Saturday morning. Because I, like, if I sent it during the day, my dad would get it hours before my mum. Or if I sent it like in the evening, like one or other, like they'd, one of them would be on the computer. Like I just wanted it to be at a time when I knew that they'd both be available to look at their emails. And then I tried not to think of like one of them seeing it first and being like, Tony, come and look at this.
I did the voice.
That isn't what my mum sounds like.
How long did it take between you writing the email and you sending it?
I finished drafting it the night before and I sent it in the morning. But it took me, I don't know, a couple of days to write it all out. And I started a draft of it like months ago.
I think mine took a couple of days. I think I started writing it when I knew that this time when my sister visits, I'm going to make sure she knows all the terms and conditions. So I knew in my head I was going to send her an email to do it. And that took a couple of days to do it, like giving her enough time before she arrived so that if it was a very small chance, but if she decided it was just too much to handle, then she could make other plans whilst she was in England, apart from like visit me. Yeah, a couple of days.
Did you send it to anyone like Anna did to get advice on redrafting?
I didn't, because at the time I was only out to such a small number of people, and I was still not. While I was comfortable with the idea of being gay, I was still not comfortable saying out loud, and I was still holding back a lot. Say at my place of work, or I was very careful about like how much gay stuff I said around people in public.
Going up to a random person and being like, will you please read this email?
Excuse me, please, because politeness is key.
Are there any spelling mistakes?
Excuse me, please. First of all, let me come out to you. I am gay.
Is it also, affect or effect in the sentence?
Yeah. You know, I just had to rely on Microsoft Word's trusty.
Did you start writing and then was Clippy like, are you writing a coming out email?
If only Clippy could have just bloody done it for us.
Yeah.
But there is a wiki how on how to write a coming out email to your parents.
No way.
Yeah. So I've got some top tips. Before we talk about like advice on writing emails, what did your parents say in response?
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, I haven't asked them whether I can share their email, so I feel like I shouldn't read the whole thing out. But essentially, the email was sent at 9:53 a.m. And my mum responded about an hour and a half later, and my dad responded about an hour and a little bit more than that. Anyway, they responded individually, like not reply all. essentially what mum was saying was, I don't think your news is really a surprise. Like, it's fairly clear that that's what you were thinking recently. I'd kind of guessed that you'd like work something out. Not much else to say really, but like, it's great to hear that you're happy. And then just chat about her orchestra and the sun coming out. Ironically, my dad said, just back from a 26k run. It's thoughtful of you. I'm not going to read this out, but he basically said like, thanks for sharing your feelings in such a like sensitive and thoughtful way. It's awesome to hear that you're like really happy with your identity and persona. Like, we're really proud of you. We're really proud of everything that you do, but like you being happy and like who you are is the most important thing. It's really difficult to like be comfortable with who you are. And it's awesome that you've found that out.
That's nice.
That's very nice.
Were you happy with their responses?
Yeah, for sure. And I responded to them being like, thank you for your lovely emails. That means a lot. And then other just mundane chat.
No, tell us more about your lives.
I was really happy with those responses. It's what I expected, which is obviously very lucky. I didn't anticipate them having a huge issue with it. But I was still like, you know, I was still like anxious to see what they would say. It was a pretty good result, really. And they've not asked me anything about it since, because that's not what we do. So the information was inserted and all is well.
My sister, like I said, she responded pretty immediately. But I did, in my email, I did say, like, there is a chance that, like, that if this conversation comes up again with our parents who already know, and I wasn't sure if she knew that they knew, that this is going to turn into a huge drama because, since this is an audio medium, those of you who don't know me, I am a South Asian man and I come from a Muslim family, so there are a lot of other complications that I had to think about in terms of coming out to family. And so I said to her, like, there's a good chance, because this doesn't sit well with culture and religion and all this, that I could get disowned. And I don't know if I said that in the sense like you can pick a side, but it was more like, this is a thing that is going to cause some drama in the future. So I think in that sense, I'm glad that, I think coming out of my email is a good thing, especially if you have those added levels of complexity to think about. Because you could either end up with a huge family drama, which you don't want to deal with whilst dealing with your own emotions, or worse, some, like, my family are fairly nice and like liberal and wouldn't do anything terrible. But there are, you know, some parts of the world where families would, you know, I don't know, just marry people off when they find out this happens, or withhold their passport so they can't escape the country.
Yeah, your safety is definitely your...
Yeah, so in that sense, you know, there's like having that barrier is very important, I think, to some people. Above and beyond just the awkwardness that... Like, that was the reason that we did it for, right? But yeah, there are so many other good reasons that this agony aunt hasn't thought about.
Yeah, no, it's so true.
Do you think that you favoured the email medium because you had all of this kind of like additional points that you needed to make, like all of this coming out admin, and you kind of were guaranteed the space to say those things?
That's definitely important, I think, yeah. Because generally when I have conversations with people, or like especially difficult ones, I find myself being very empathetic towards like how they're feeling, and it would automatically stop me from saying things that I would want to say. There would be sometimes, not just in coming out conversations, but say you're having a difficult conversation with someone, I always find myself thinking about how they're feeling, and so I would shut myself down, and I'd hate for that to, like, normal conversation that's fine, but I'd hate for that to happen to someone who is coming out, because coming out is a big deal for the person coming out, more than the person they're coming out to. So it's important that that person has the space to say everything that's on their mind that they want to say to the person they're coming out to. And for that reason, I would say, again, it's important to just be able to put it all out there with no like reaction or no response from someone till later.
Yeah, definitely. And that was one of the things that I was grateful for in their responses, was that they didn't make any of it about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the... So, talking of like having that space and also having all of those things that you need to say beyond just the I'm gay or I'm trans or whatever. So one of our listeners sent in an email that they sent to their work colleagues. And this was something that I had not considered when I was putting together this episode, the fact that coming out via email is like, because it is kind of a bit formal, and also emails are something that we associate with the workplace, like it is potentially the best medium to come out to a group of people in that kind of setting.
So here is that letter. Dear colleague, forgive the impersonal nature of an email. I write to you in confidence as a collaborator in follow-up to an announcement that blank made about me at today's departmental meeting. I'm hopeful that once you have read this, you will understand why I had to share this in one fell swoop. I'm currently going through a series of medical procedures to transition from male to female, having struggled both mentally and physically to fit into a male gender role. I have now found myself in relative safety to address this deep unhappiness and discomfort. You may know others or have heard through the media about transgender people. I am one of the very few who are fortunate enough to afford, both financially and health-wise, medical treatment promptly. As a result of my ongoing treatment over roughly 6 years, I have been evolving both physically and mentally. When I return to work over the coming weeks, I may look and sound different. Please be assured that this will not affect my performance or my commitment to my work or anyone else in my life. In fact, I suspect that those parts of my life will improve with the deeper satisfaction. I remain supported by my partner, blank, the entirety of our families and friends. I'm also privileged to have the acceptance and support of my peers and superiors in our faculty, which has and will continue to be a fantastic workplace. Never before have I felt so engaged and excited about the science and the technology that I have been involved in. Everything that I have achieved as an academic owes much to the collective support of colleagues like you. I do not want anything to be awkward, therefore encourage you to ask me questions about anything that you would like me to explain. There's a lot being said about people like me in sensational media. The language in connection to trans people can be confusing and uncomfortable. So if you're not sure, please ask. With best wishes. Blank, nay, blank, blank. What did we think?
The bit about, like, please feel free that you can ask me any question. Did you have that in yours, Oz?
I didn't. No, I didn't. I don't remember having that.
Yeah, because that's one thing... I suppose with an email, again, it's an information dump onto the other person. And so by saying, you know, don't worry about perhaps, I mean, I'm putting words into this person's mouth, but for me, it was like, don't worry about offending me. I don't mind. Just ask me. Whatever's on your mind, just ask me. Like, I don't because it is a dump, you want to be able to continue that conversation if that person wants to.
So one of the pieces of advice that I read on the internet was that either, like, if you want questions, ask for questions. And if you don't want to take questions, obviously that's fine. But given that it's an email, you can put in links. So you can be like, maybe look at this website if you're unsure.
Yeah, nice.
The good things about the email is that you can take it as an opportunity to basically, because you get given this space where no one can interrupt you, you get the opportunity to kind of set the precedent for how people can react.
Yeah.
So if you are telling people about your transition, you can say, these are my pronouns, this is my name, this is how I expect you to, or like, this is how you will now behave when you're interacting with me, which is much better than, for example, what I did, which was at like a work social when everyone was drunk, be like, non-binary. And because of the very informal nature, everyone just like went in with questions that I was not prepared for, nor did I want. And because it happened in that kind of space, for people who did not know how to react, essentially what I was saying about how they could react was like, we're all just hanging out. There's not a set of like societal kind of rules that you're expected to follow. Whereas if you send people an email, it's like, this is a professional work context. So regardless of your personal opinions, there are ways that you have to react with colleagues. You might not know what those rules are because of this thing happening that you might not have experienced before, but now I'm telling you. And so it can be really useful in that context as well. Don't come out to people when you're drunk at a work thing.
It's in like the casual sort of scenario. It's interesting because, like, when I think about times that I've face to face come out to friends, I've still thought about it beforehand enough to think about every possible outcome of their reaction, so that I'm prepared to deal with it and deal with the questions as well.
So I would like to think that I do that, but I'm terrible at predicting how people are going to respond to things. So what I end up doing is having several different iterations of a conversation with myself.
Yeah.
I get in a conversation with someone and then they say something and I'm like, wait, that's not on the script.
Yes, I like this idea that you can be directional at the end of your email and say what you would like to happen next.
Yes.
Which is quite difficult to ask for, but with an email you have the time to be able to word that nicely. So, like, you know, both of us said, like, don't feel the need to respond in any sort of time frame. But I said in mine, like, let me know you got it at least, kind of thing. But beyond that, don't worry. And this person as well, like, they were saying, you know, ask me questions, like, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah. So I found this website for quite a cool organisation. It's an organisation called Gender Sanity. So they're based in the US, and basically what they do is they work with companies, and they either work with individuals who are coming out as trans within their organisation, or they work with HR departments, and they walk people through, like, the social and like legal aspects of those processes. And they have a website and it's got a lot of advice on it. So things from tone, like not being apologetic when you write your email, which I think is something that we talked about when you were writing your email.
Yes, one of my drafts had a bit more of an explanation, or like a bit, not exactly an excuse, but like I kind of said, like, you might be wondering why now, or like, and you don't,
you're trying to predict like the...
Yes, I was projecting onto them my own like insecurities about what was going on, but actually it didn't need saying,
They also advise to like be clear about what is explicit to people on things like your name, your gender pronouns, what language is acceptable to use. So being able to give people examples. And I know that you were saying earlier that coming out, like, it's about the person who's coming out, not the person who's being come out to. And I do strongly believe that. But I also think that if you're writing an email, it is easier for you to take a bit of time to be educational than when you're having to have a conversation with someone face to face. because yeah, it's much easier to like walk someone through a concept that they're unfamiliar with when they're not like actively being a dick to your face.
That's true.
Or just like being in front of your face. Yeah. Like, and as you say, you can send links on an email and you can't send a link IRL.
Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? They can say they receive the email and they can have their initial reaction to it, then they can go away and they can come back to it, and if there are links or informational like attachments in the email, they can revisit it in their own time.
Yes, and there's no like, you said, no, I actually said, this is what I said.
Yeah,
I will point you to the part of the email.
That's a good point as well. In a work context, you have a paper trail of that conversation. And particularly in like HR instances, that can be really, really useful.
Mm-hmm. So do either of you have any additional advice? And the other piece of advice, which Oz has ignored, is keep it brief. Don't write a 2,000 word essay about everything that's happening in your life right now.
That is true. It was very long.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably context specific. Like, if you've got lots to say, fine.
Yeah, it was kind of like, it was like ripping the Band-Aid off on many aspects of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, if I'm going to do this big thing, I might as well do all the little things around it as well. Mm. Yeah, I'm kind of glad I did it that way.
So what other piece of advice do you think you would give people who are looking to come out by email or similar?
Write it in a Word document first, not an email with whoever's email addresses in case you accidentally click send.
Yeah, very good advice. Yeah. What other advice? I think, like you said at the beginning of the episode, email is probably becoming out of fashion. So if I don't see a problem with people sending a long text about it, if they can keep it that brief. Or send a series of texts, because if you want it to be, it's kind of like the middle, isn't it? It's kind of like semi-instantaneous because you're sending it to them, but you have the barrier so they can decide, they can think about how they're going to respond. So if you do want that more instant, I'm telling you now and I want you to react, but I don't want to be in front of you. Mm. Personally, I think I know people don't like having intense conversations about texts, but for something like this, I think about what suits you and what your needs are from coming out to this person.
Definitely. But also, like, what's your usual communication medium? So for our family, like, email probably is one, because my dad doesn't really use his phone. And in the work context, again, email is quite a common communication medium. You might not want to put it up on the notice board in the entrance hall, you know. If you never email the person that you're thinking of coming out to, that might make it more of a thing.
Yeah. I think that, so one good thing about email is that you can do it on the computer. So important things, I don't like to write on my phone, because it's harder to draft on my phone. But I like sitting in front of a keyboard and typing it. So that's why I would, if in this arbitrary electronic communication poll that I've informally started, we vote for email over text message.
Yeah.
I would, one piece of advice would be, like, I found it quite surprising how significant it felt to me, even just like typing the words and getting that wording right. So I think my advice would be, don't feel disheartened if when you type your first draft it feels a bit intense and maybe you won't want to look at it for a week or two. Like, I think that's okay. Don't play down like how it's going to feel for you to write the words and to find the right words.
I think based off of your first piece of advice, another thing would be, if you have a funny email signature, turn it off for this email.
Please think before you print.
One of the things I thought about when I was playing through in my mind what's going to happen in their house when the email gets sent, and one of the things is that my dad will often print off significant emails.
So that's, actually, that raises a good point, isn't it? It's like, say you're coming out to parents or family via email, you have the confidence that it's confidential. If you're going to come out to like any other people via email, you have to have a certain level of trust. I think trust is important if you're coming out to people via email, because people could easily forward it to somebody you don't want or you're not ready to come out to, you know,
that screenshot.
Screenshot it. And then that could create like a big drama or a big uncomfortable thing that you have to deal with.
Well, you say that like is a massive problem at the moment, particularly for young people. So a friend of mine works for an LGBT youth charity and was telling me about a lot of kids who are being blackmailed because they're not out to their parents, and they are sending lots of like messages to people which are more open about their sexuality, and then that essentially just provides evidence.
Yeah.
For people, so that is a good point.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. Trying to think of any other advice.
Do we need something more uplifting to finish on?
Yeah, we do.
I think I was thinking, so I did like find the email that I sent, and I was a bit scared, like you, I was a bit scared to read it, especially because like it's from 10 years ago. But actually there's something like quite, I found it quite therapeutic reading it back. I mean, like, yeah. It was a solid move, Oz. I felt very proud of myself reading it.
I'm super impressed that you were able to find an email from 10 years ago.
I think I typed the words gay and probably some, I'm trying to think how I found it. I only had to type two words into my search box.
Is it the name of your ex-boyfriend?
No.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that email does facilitate is like an easy back and forth. So like after I sent that and they both sent messages, like my mum did follow up with some questions like a few days later, you know, having thought about this a little bit more, I did have a few more questions. So that having that thread does facilitate a back and forth.
Actually,
later on,
that's a good point, isn't it? Because say if she was in the room with you, it's probably, I don't know, I'm guessing unlikely for her to be like, oh, by the way, I now want to talk about you being gay. Like it doesn't just like slip into conversation, does it? Especially with someone who you've just come out to. So it leaves that track open,
exactly,
unless you or that person shuts it down. So,
but also email, like email is orderly, it happens in turns. So I write an email and then you respond to it and then I respond to it. It's not like a text message where you can fire off 20 messages at the same time and then I don't know which one to respond to, or a conversation where you can interrupt me and not let me kind of think about the question that I'm being asked and work out the answer and then respond. You read an email and then you should reply to everything that's in that email, and you've got time and space to do that. And then you take it, which is nice.
Yeah, I think
it's polite.
It is maybe the politeness is a good point, but also like it does let you like set all your expectations out like so clearly, but also reassure that person of how you're willing to have the conversation beyond that email in a way that, and I think that's for that reason, I think something as big as coming out is probably better done via email if you're worried about, or if you're not sure about what the circumstances are going to be. So yeah, I can only think of positive things to say about coming out via email.
Yeah.
Gives you the time and the space to think.
That was the key thing for me. It was having the time and giving them the time rather than face to face. And also you can't see their faces. It removes
And like with these emotional conversations, sometimes you end up like everybody reacts to things, right? And you end up reacting in a way that you didn't intend to react in.
Yeah.
And so it takes that away. Because, like, say the initial reaction, say, like, you and I were coming out to me and I had, like, a, oh, my God, reaction to it.
Mm.
Then it's, like, that's what you're going to walk away with. Mm. Going, like, oh, that was your first reaction.
Mm.
Whereas if you weren't face-to-face, I can have that reaction in private, but then actually react to you in a way that I want to react to you based on my relationship with you.
Yeah, exactly.
So that relationship doesn't get scarred. Because things like this, you remember these things forever, right? And so it's important to, like, make sure that happens in a nice way so that you're not scarred by it, by doing that process of, like, coming out face-to-face because that was the right thing to do.
Mm, definitely.
Cool. I think that the point that we've gotten to is that coming out by email definitely has its merits.
Mm-hmm.
But if the person that you speak to, you've literally never communicated with via email in your life.
Might still be okay, but yeah, I guess.
Or if they don't have email, don't read their email.
Well, that's point, yeah.
If they don't read their email, then...
That's not great.
No.
Yeah. I remember, actually, one of the reasons as well that I wrote an email is that when I speak about emotional things with people face-to-face, I quite often cry, and it's not because I'm sad or upset. It's just because, like... that is how my body expresses emotion. So, like, I anticipated that if I were to say it out loud, I might end up crying, and I didn't want to cry in that conversation.
Mm.
And I remember probably drafting it for the first time and crying, because that's the sort of thing I would do. But, like, you have that opportunity to express emotions yourself as well, without those clouding your communication and the point that you wanted to get across.
That's a very good point. Because I'd say I'm the opposite. When I write intense emotions down, it makes me cry. But at least I'm like, okay, now I've put it out. I know how important this is to me.
Mm.
So now I can rearrange this to get this across to that person.
Yeah.
Emotions are hard.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Okay, we'll finish it there. Cool. So I think that basically all that is left to do is for all of the listeners to go to Twitter, where you'll find a nice coming out Medium poll. And you can vote email or text message or in person.
As long as it's polite.
Email us your thoughts.
Non-existent arbitrary debate that we have created over the course of this recording. Once and for all.
Yay.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening to the Coming Out Tapes. And thank you very much for my very special guests, Oz and Anna. Would either of you like to plug anything?
Oh. Sure. Well, if you're listening to a podcast, I guess you could listen to my podcast, which is about materials.
It's really good.
It's a pun on material.
I didn't say the name yet.
It's called Real Talk. And I interview craftspeople and people that work with materials with their hands. But a lot of the stories are kind of personal backstories and, like, the emotions that people feel about materials and, like, yeah, their relationships to them. Hence, Real Talk, because it's about materials.
And if you're done listening to all of these podcasts and want more podcasts, you can listen to one I'm on. It's called Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? And it kind of takes an intersectional look at a sort of science and tech and pop culture and millennial culture. And we talk about the good stuff as well as the dark side of science. And there's sometimes some comedy in there.
Amazing. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Karis.
The annoying thing about this is that it all starts really small, so you can't see it.
Sounds like my first time.
That was awful.
What I just said.
That's a really bad joke.
It's not. You said it starts really small, so I can't see it. And I said, this sounds like my first time.
Yeah, you keep repeating the joke back. Magically.
Look, everyone at home is pissing themselves off and saying, fuck off.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Oh, your phone is quite cracked.
I'm bringing all my podcasts in to mock me.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Coming Out Tapes. I have been your host, Keris Bradley, and I would like to say thanks to Scary Boots for the artwork, which is available to purchase on Redbubble, Michaela Moody for the music, and Alex Lathbridge of the Smart Material Collective for his support of the project. If you want to get involved, please tweet at us, because we'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, and questions. If you liked this episode, subscribe and leave us a review or recommend us to a friend, because it makes a big difference.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.